Greetings to each one here this morning, and I know there's some that aren't here that are going to be watching online, and greetings to them as well. For those watching online, I hope you heal soon. And as we look into God's Word this morning, I hope we can go away with something that'll encourage us, maybe challenge us this week to walk and to live for our Savior. Scott, this morning, when you said you were felt scattered, and I said, well, I can sympathize with you on that this morning very much. Yesterday, as I was studying, I don't think it was about 5 or 5:30 last night, I told Janice, I said, I was starting to almost panic a little bit because it just wasn't coming together, and I feel like I need a little bit of time to be able to get my thoughts together, or who knows where I'll be at. And so I was feeling a little nervous, and I feel a little scattered myself as well. So hopefully, with what you had and what I had, hopefully somebody can go away with something this morning. But it's been several weeks ago that I'm not sure. I knew my turn was coming up, and I was asking God what he wanted me to talk about. And the thought of freedom went through my mind. And so I'd been meditating on that, thinking about freedom. And it was interesting. I think it was that Sunday or the next Sunday. I forget when it was right about that same time that we actually talked about a part of freedom in our Sunday school class. And the verse Jesus said, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And that was something that kind of played into what I was thinking and what I was studying. And so if I ask you the question this morning, what is freedom? And you don't have to answer, because as I look at freedom, I just kind of want you to think about it, what you define freedom as. Because as I thought of freedom, and then as you study freedom, sometimes our society where we live today, what freedom we would look at freedom as, maybe isn't so much freedom. And as I was studying freedom, I have to use this word because I was feeling pretty good, because I'm not very good at vocabulary. And yesterday morning I asked Janice, I said, do you know what etymology is? And she's like, yeah, the study of words. So, but anyhow, that was a new word for me, so I had to use that this morning. But so as you go back in Scripture and go back to where the idea of freedom was first used in Scripture, and it goes back to Genesis 2 in the Garden of Eden. It says, and the Lord commanded the man, you are free to eat from every tree of the garden, but you may not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die. And as you look at freedom, especially today, and you look at people around, the idea of freedom is just, you're free to do anything. No one can tell you anything. You're free. I don't know. Sometimes it's fun to watch a little bit of these police that pull over people, and you know, the rights and the freedom they have to just do whatever they want, you know, they're free, you know. And then I was thinking of some of that, and then looking here at, along with freedom comes a responsibility as well. God gave Adam and Eve the freedom to eat of the fruit of the tree, of all the trees, except for of knowledge of good and evil. But along with freedom comes responsibility. And if you look at freedom, pretty much anything that goes with freedom comes responsibility. I told Janice I was going to do this thing. I was going to tell them that, you know, Brian might decide one day that he wants Scott's truck, and he's just going to go over there and take Scott's truck. You know what? Brian says, I got the freedom to do it, but then he takes Scott's freedom away from him. So, you know, you can't, you know, there's, along with freedom comes responsibility. There was a article that I was reading. It was a pretty long article. It was from the Hoover Institution. Is actually the institution of it. It wasn't Scott's institution either. It was a Hoover Institution, but it was actually written by Steve Forbes. And it was the moral basis of a free society is what the name of the article was. And it was pretty interesting. It went into a lot of the freedom that we have in our country to worship, the freedom we have, the rights we have. But it was interesting to me as you talked about the freedoms, and it went into abortion, and it went into different of the rights, different of the freedoms, and how that actually is not freedom, and or how some of the places that we find ourselves today is not freedom, and the importance it talked in there a lot of the importance of right living, and to be able to live for God as actually being freedom. This morning I want to go to John 8, and we would like to read at least some of the chapter of John 8. I'll start at verse 12, I believe. And what I want to look at this morning is, what does freedom look like as a Christian? In John 8, verse 12, it says, again, and Jesus was speaking here. If you remember, we talked about the woman that was caught in adultery, and they were trying to condemn her. And then Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. And then this comes in right after. And Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So the Pharisees said to him, you are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true. Jesus answered, even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true. For I know where I came and from where I am going. But you do not know where I come from or where I am going. Your judgment according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet if I do judge, my judgment is true. For it is not I alone who judge, but I the Father who sent me. In your law it is written that the testimony of two people is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me. They said to him, where is your Father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. These words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, but no one arrested him because his hour was not yet come. So he said to them again, I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come. So the Jews said, will he kill himself? Since he says, where I am going, you cannot come. He said to them, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. So they said to him, who are you? Jesus said to them, just what I have been telling you from the beginning. I have much to say about you and much to judge, but he who sent me is true, and I declare to the world what I have heard from him. They did not understand what he had been speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. As he was saying these things, many believed in him. So when Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is this that you say you will become free? I'm going to stop right there. Here we see in verse 12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Again, down in verse 24, he talked to the ones. He said, if you do believe in me, I am he. I told you that you would die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am he, you will indeed die in your sins. But he continued, I am free from above. You are this world. I am not of this world. Number one, the first thing for freedom is, if we are to be free, if we want true freedom, we must believe that God is the creator, all things come from him, that God sent his son, and Jesus came and died on the cross that you and I could be free from our burden of sin. In John 3:3, Jesus replied, "Verily, truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom unless they are born again." In Luke 4:18, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." First of all, freedom is only found through Jesus, true freedom. R.C. Sproul wrote a quote saying this, "The only freedom man ever has is when he becomes a slave to Jesus." Max Lucado also wrote, "We have the freedom to pray and the freedom to love the God of our heart, and we have been forgiven by the only one who could condemn us. We are truly free." And then along with the freedom we find through Jesus, one must choose daily to walk according to the ways of God. In John 8, just a little further on down our passage today, there were some of the Jews. Now, when Jesus was talking to these people, to the scribes, the Pharisees, there were some that believed on him while he was in our passage here today. And to those that believed on him, Jesus said this to them. Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Adam and Eve enjoyed walking in fellowship with God until they chose to follow the knowledge, to follow after knowledge rather than trusting in God. Jesus came. He has restored that privilege to be able to walk, to come to God. There was a quote, and I don't know who the author was that wrote this quote, but it says, "The greatest freedom we have is the freedom to come to God at any time." Pope John Paul II wrote this quote, "Freedom consists not in doing what we like, but in having the right to do what is right, the right to do what we ought." In John 14:15, he says, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And as he talked to them, he always looked out for those that were sincere and wanted to follow him. I want to turn to John 14. As we look at walking with the Lord, and I want to read, I think I'll start at verse 1 in John 14, and I want to read a good portion of that chapter, I believe. It says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If ye had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe me, that I am the Father, and the Father is in me? I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. The words that I say unto you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you also will live. And in that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and will love him, and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make his home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. These things have I spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you into remembrance what I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, and my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you love me, you would have rejoiced because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now have I told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. So how do you and how do I walk in freedom? I have six ways this morning. Jesus said, if we keep his words, those that love him will keep his words. How do you, how do I walk in freedom? The first one I have this morning is walk with the Spirit. In 2 Corinthians 3, it is talking of Moses and how you'd there's a story is recounting back today when Moses would come out from speaking with the Lord, and his face, they would cover his face with a veil because his face would shine. And it's what it's referring to here in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17. It says, Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed in his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. When we walk in the Spirit, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. As we choose to walk in His Spirit, we are slowly transformed into God's image. As we walk in the Spirit, we experience freedom in our lives. Number two, stand firm, resist the devil. Galatians 5:1 says, It is for freedom that Christ has come. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Again, we see here, God continues to give us each a choice. We must make that choice to stand. Satan will use many ways to try to steal your freedom. He will use lies, half-truths, whatever it takes to try to steal that from you. Satan would like to have it look that outside of Christ we would feel free, but in reality it's quite the opposite. Freedom in Christ is the most powerful thing one can have. Number three, cry out to God. All of us are human, and at some point, we will fail. Psalm 118:5 says, Out of my distress I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. When life is painful, we struggle with our bad decisions. We can come back to Jesus and reorient ourselves with God's will and find freedom in Christ. The first step in freedom is honest prayer and devotion. Acts 13:38 and 39 says, Therefore, my friends, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is set free from every sin, a justification you were not able to obtain under the law of Moses. Every one of us, to a certain degree, struggles with sin in our life. But every one of us can find freedom in Christ. Through the Spirit that Jesus promised in the passage that we just read about, we have the power to resist sin and temptation if we will look to God for our help. Number four, have self-control. Self-control is an important piece in the freedom puzzle. While one may have the right to do many things, yet rather than being mastered by our own selfish desires, we must follow God's commands and His plans for our lives. It is then, and only then, true freedom in Christ can be attained. In 1 Corinthians 6, if you were to go read that passage, I'm not turning there this morning, there was quite a few things going on in 1 Corinthians. And in 1 Corinthians 6, Paul addresses the church there. They were having, among the church, they were taking each other to court. There was different things happening. And Paul addressed them. And he said, I thought I had the verse written down here, and I don't see that I do. But they were going to court against each other and using the right to do anything to live in sin and to go against and mistreat each other. They were mistreating each other in 1 Corinthians 6. A little later on, about a couple chapters later, in 1 Corinthians 10:23, he said, I have the right to do anything. He was talking to them again. He said, I have the right to do anything you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. No one should seek their own good, but the good of others. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the church of God, even as I try to please everyone in every way. For I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Follow me as I follow the example of Christ. Paul was calling them to use self-control and follow his example. We as Christians ought to lead a life of example that others can follow that points them to Christ. And this leads into number five. I have love others. The Bible reminds us to be free, that we are free, but we don't embrace our worldly freedom. Galatians 5, 13 to 15, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you'll be destroyed by each other. This is a powerful freedom verse. Use your freedom to help, build, and better the others the same as you would look out for your own self. And then the very next verse following that was Galatians 5:16, and that brings to the last one that I have this morning, live by the Spirit. Galatians 5:16 says, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will gratify the desire, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And then it goes on right after this verse, and it lists the works of the flesh. And then it goes on, and it's the fruit of the Spirit. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. True freedom means we are able to not become attached to the worldly things and desires of the flesh, including materialistic possessions. True freedom means we are able to walk by the Spirit and daily make that choice in our life. This freedom frees us from the binds of worldly temptations because we, along with the listed faith in the faith, with those listed in the faith chapter, they had their eyes fixed on their eternal home and lived in anticipation as strangers and pilgrims here on this earth. We also live with anticipation for our future home. We are only strangers and pilgrims here. We know there is far more than the desires of this earthly life, and we have eternal life with Him when we choose God over this world. In closing, I want to read 1 Peter 2:11. Says, dear friends, I urge you, as foreigners and exiles, to abstain from sinful desires which wage and war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans, or those of this world, that Though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify your God on the day he visits us. True freedom is found in surrender and living for God. May God bless you as you live for him and as you walk on your daily walk, that you could be an example and be a witness to those that you come in contact with, that we may lead godly lives that would lead others to find true freedom in their life as well. Carter, do you have a 6:35? All right, if you will stand, and I'm going to read. Paul wrote in Ephesians 3, and I'm going to read his prayer this morning as our closing prayer. Let's pray. I pray that out of this glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. You may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know his love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all that we ask or imagine, according to his power that is to work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.